The Best Podcast in Baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
That story isn't about Sonny Gray's sweeper necessarily. It's about Sonny Gray, the high school legend in Smyrna, Tennessee. This is a guy that Cardinal fans are going to like.
Tell me more.
The legend of Sonny Gray. Well, there's several good stories.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined today here behind home plate at Field 1 of the Cardinals' Roger Dean Stadium Player Development Complex, Spring Training Complex, whatever you want to call it. And I'm with Stan McNeil, a longtime baseball editor, baseball writer, sports editor, sports writer. I got it all covered. Was with the San Diego Union-Tribune. Most recently was with the Sporting News covering baseball. And now is a senior staff writer for the Cardinals magazine. Stan, thank you very much for joining me here.
My pleasure. You know, all those things. It just shows that I'm old. But now I'm going on almost 9 years with Cardinals magazine.
9 years. That's amazing. I wanted to talk to you because spring is such a good chance to tell stories that maybe during the regular season there isn't time to kind of let breathe or to time to even have the conversations. And I also want to just talk to you because you've seen such changes in baseball writing from multiple perspectives as a writer, as an editor, and now seeing, you know, what teams do to create content. What goes into the decision for you as to what story you're going to chase for Cardinal Magazine?
Well, the way that we look at it is we're a magazine that covers the team. So the games really don't matter to us. We're looking for stories that will help fans understand the game or understand the players who are playing, the Cardinals who are playing the game there. So in terms of stories, like anybody, we're looking, trying to do stuff that no one else is going to do, that we can kind of be unique. And we've got some longtime editors who have been working. You know, Steve Zesch, our publisher editor, has been working for the magazine for over 30 years. So he's got a real good sense of what story ideas or what makes a good story for us.
And for you, what are some? I mean, one of the things that I think this was last year that you did was you sat down Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and attempted to get kind of a verbal tennis match going between their answers. It's that kind of thing, that kind of creative. Like, let's see what happens if we, instead of telling a story on one of these guys, we get them each to try to bring out stories from them.
Yeah, and that specific example was a little different because we'd already kind of written features about both of those guys. But, you know, going into a season, that was our season preview issue. Those were the big, you know, the big guns coming off of 2022. So we thought, you know, let's just sit down with them and see what they have to say about the season and the game and whatever else.
What's a memorable story that you've done? I think of going right to Steven Spicotti's hometown. That was one. I mean, you have a lot. What's a memorable story that stand out to you?
With the Cardinals, you know, that was a fun one. I mean, Steven Piscotty, not just Steven was such a good guy, but I got to know his family a little bit, and we know the story about his mom, you know, passing away not too long, maybe a year or so after that. So, but that was fun because we actually went to Pleasanton High School, forget the name of his high school, Anticock Valley or whatever. Right. We actually went to Stephen's high school and met with some of his, talked to some of his old teachers. He even sat down at the pottery wheel in class. So that's was a great idea of what we're trying to do in terms of give readers something that they might not see anywhere else.
We're here on a field as they prepare, so there's going to be some background noise, but we should be good. All right. Well, so how do you set that up, and what do you learn about Steven Piscotty doing that story there, as opposed to just talking to him over the phone and having him describe? I mean, beyond seeing him at a pottery wheel.
No,
but you could FaceTime, I guess.
I mean, I think that when you're face-to-face, it's just more personal, you know, and being able to talk to someone on their home turf, I think, then they're even a little more comfortable, or just their perspective is different than it would be in the clubhouse or any place else. So, you know, that's kind of, and you try to give them a behind-the-scenes look at, you know, what this guy's doing with the off-season, with his life.
What's the off-season story other than that? Where did you get most behind the scenes, do you think?
With Steven?
No, just anybody.
I went to Vegas the off season after the Cardinals signed Dexter Fowler and got to kind of have lunch with him and see what I remember mostly about that, or one thing I remember is his tennis shoe closet. Mm-hmm. You know, he must have had, and the garage. I mean, he must have had 300-400 pairs of tennis shoes, Nike tennis shoes, because he was a Jordan guy. So, but no, we were able to work out with him, and this was a guy just coming to the organization, so you can kind of get a feel for what he's like, and hopefully convey that to the readers before he starts playing.
Yeah, and what do you try to? How do you find it teasing out guys to tell you the stories? Like was did Dexter, upon shaking your hand and meeting you, say, "Come see my shoes"?
No, I mean, that was a story, we asked Dexter, say, hey, you know, can we come out and hang out with you, watch you work out as you get ready for your first season as a Cardinal? And he said, yeah, you know, I mean, so it was, yeah, definitely, we don't have too many players coming to us saying, you want to do a story on this or that? No, we still have to work to get them, and we still have to, you know, it takes a lot of thought to come up with the ideas.
Do you also work with the player who writes for the magazine each year? You've had some, you know, Wainwright has done it. I know some other guys have done it where they write for the magazine.
We got Miles returning for a second or third year as our columnist. So yeah, what the way that works is I'll interview Miles or talk to him. We'll come up with a topic. We'll sit down, talk to him. Then I'll kind of write it up and then send it to him so he can kind of check it out, and we'll go back and forth a little bit and make sure it's in his words. But, you know, it takes me long enough to write it. I don't think Miles has a lot of time to be sitting down at a keyboard. But so I guess ghostwriter. Ghostwriter for that.
That's a new title. So senior writer and ghostwriter.
I'm a long time ghostwriter. I've been, when I was at Sporting News early on, probably 2000, 2001, we started doing a column with Todd Jones, who was a closer, and that continued until he retired. And we've done, like you say, we've done the columns with the Cardinals magazine. So I've done a lot of ghostwriting.
What do you learn about a guy when you're not just interviewing them, but you're interviewing them or talking with them for the purpose of having it come out as a written piece by them?
You just learn about them. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's any difference in them writing or just talking. I think that they are who they are, and I think that you just try to bring that out.
Did you get that in the setting with Arenado and Goldschmidt? What was that like in that room, and how did you prepare to kind of get them talking as opposed to just a Q&A with you?
You just we work hard to come up with good questions, and then you kind of obviously have to be flexible once you sit down with them. But they're good guys. You know, they're veterans, so they might have a different perspective than some of the younger players in terms of what they're gonna talk about. But no, those two guys, you could talk baseball with them for a long time.
Do any of the exchanges in there stay with you, or did any of them not make the magazine?
I couldn't even tell you at this point.
Now you're playing coy.
I'm telling my memory. When you get old, your memory starts to fade.
So. You know what? I've heard that from pitchers when I ask them about why they throw a pitch. I couldn't tell you. I can't remember. How do you spend this time during spring? Spring, am I right in my kind of thesis there that this is a time that you can get some of these stories to unspool at a different pace, a different way, maybe even greater detail than other times?
Some, but mostly we're down here. I'm down here kind of doing some of what you're doing. You want to get a feel for the team, and the best way to do that is just to be around them, and hopefully when you're around them, you do kind of, you know, pick up on some of the stuff they might do away from the field, some things that might make a good story. You know, you've done the Miles Michaelis fishing story, right? You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, those are things that you're able to have more of a chance to talk to guys in spring training to learn that kind of stuff that will lead to stories down the road.
Can you tease any that? Did you go out and do any kind of that experiential journalism with guys here?
We have not done any to that degree this spring, no.
Okay. What about in the past?
in terms of...
Like, let's go out and do something with a guy. Either like...
In Jupiter, we have not. No, yeah. It's, you know, we've done the round tables where we sit down with guys. We do that pretty much every spring. We felt like that for our season preview issue. You take a couple of guys who we figure are going to be very impactful on the season and try to have them introduce the season in a way.
What's the style of riding like for you compared to what you did at the Sporting News to this? Is it a lot more personality driven here?
You know, I'm not even sure I can explain the difference, but there's definitely a difference riding for a daily, riding for a weekly, and then riding for Cardinals Magazine, which comes out six times a year. I mean, you definitely you always want to be kind of looking forward to what you're writing about. But it's even more, you know, that's even more of our mission with the magazine.
How do you look at capturing this team, than this particular team, one that's coming off of, I mean, did Cardinal, how long has Cardinal Magazine existed?
Cardinal, we've been around for more than 30 years. So.
So it has really only been, it hasn't had a season like that to come back from, really.
I'm not sure anybody on the staff has been around. I guess Steve was around for the last losing season. So, yeah. Last year was definitely different for everybody, including us.
So as you kind of plot out, like, all right, what do we tell folks about this team? I mean, the obvious answer is Sonny Gray is going to be on a cover at some point in time. But how do you go about thinking, okay, these are the stories that I want to tell to preview this year?
This year was definitely different because this is the first spring without Adam Wainwright or Yadi Molina or Albert Pujols since I've been coming down here. So it was different. But, yeah, Sonny Gray is actually on the cover of the issue that we did that just came out. And as a way to explain what we do differently, that story isn't about Sonny Gray's sweeper necessarily. It's about Sonny Gray, the high school legend in Smyrna, Tennessee. So we talked to a lot of folks and that helped form Sonny, and this is a guy that Cardinal fans are going to like.
Tell me more about that. All right, so tell me about the teasing out the legend of Sonny Gray.
The legend of Sonny Gray. Well, to me, there's several good stories. One of them is, and this is a tragic story as well, but Sonny had just started ninth grade. He was playing freshman football. He was a quarterback on the freshman football team. And he had been working out that summer, so he'd already got to know some of the varsity coaches and everything. But anyway, I guess it would have been a Wednesday night in the first month of his freshman year. His father, who worked two jobs, was driving home from his second job and was killed in a car wreck. There was two single cars. His father died in a car, or was in a car wreck. That morning, the family's in the hospital. Sonny, his two sisters, a lot of his coaches are there. The decision was made to take his dad off life support. And so the adults in the room are kind of talking about, what's next, you know? Mm-hmm. And Sonny says, well, you know, I've got a football game tonight. If I don't go to school, I can't play in the game tonight. And everybody goes, you don't need to be thinking about football at this point. And Sonny said he looked up and said, well, what would my daddy want me to do? And that kind of changed the tone of the room. So Sonny went out, played football that night, threw four touchdown passes, you know, and one of the coaches said he had the people in the stands were crying after that game. It was so emotional.
And then from there, I mean, that's remarkable. And how do you, and then from there builds the baseball kind of story, or how do you, wait, let me start here. You've gotten to talk to Sonny Gray. How do you think that moment not just creates a legend like you wrote about, but also his personality?
Oh, absolutely. And from, you know, talking to Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt, who knew Sonny, I don't think he knew Sonny before his father passed, but he's known Sonny well before he went to Vanderbilt. And it's almost like Sonny had carried on his dad's personality in a way, you know. But there's no doubt that his father's death had a big, you know, major impact on him, obviously. But I also think that the family, the town, just kind of came to his support and helped him get through that.
Did you get a sense of how him as a high schooler, like you trying to track down, what you learn about him as a pro I mean, he hasn't had a linear career by any stretch of the imagination. I'm amazed by how many different places he's pitched before he became a free agent. And also, there's a pretty wide variety of performance in some of those areas, too. Did you get a sense of how those dots connected?
In terms of the struggles that he's gone through, you mean?
Or yeah, just like, you know, I mean, if what he did as a young man helped inform maybe how he responded as a pro. Or that competitive edge that you start to see as he gets a chance to really dig in, you know, at the highest level.
Well, I mean, he's had that. There's no question. He's always had that. So where he gets that, you know, I would almost guess he was born with that. You know, I mean, because another story that the first time that Tim Corbin, the Vanderbilt coach, went to see Sonny pitch, he was, you know, 13, 14 years old. And Sonny, 13, 14 years old, right? Remember, he's pretty young. Here's a college coach, a big time the Vanderbilt baseball coach, coming to watch him pitch. And Tim said he stuck around afterwards to meet Sonny and say hello. And Sonny looks up and he goes, "I know who you are. You're here to watch me pitch, aren't you?" You know, mm-hmm. So he kind of had that. And Tim says Sonny used to call him dog.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Dog. And it's like, but he did it in a way that was respectful. So to me, like, if you can do that to your coach and be respectful, that shows that you have a lot of confidence in yourself, but not arrogance, if that makes sense.
How much do you think he's going to come to define? You mentioned that this is the first year in 24 years, right, without 24 springs, without Pujols, Molina, or Wainwright here in some capacity, though Molina will be here as a special guy, but not day-to-day-to-day. How much do you think, like, Sonny's personality starts coming in and fills that opening?
That's a great question. I think that's why we're here watching at this point, just to see kind of how that does evolve, whether it's Sonny or Goldie or Lars or whoever, who's going to kind of step up and kind of shape, you know, they're not going to obviously shape the personality of the team, but the team will have a personality, and often that is from, you know, one or two guys at the kind of the top of the roster.
So you talk to a photographer, whether it's a team photographer or a newspaper photographer, magazine photographer, wire service photographer, and they know that the night that Albert Pujols possibly hits number 700, they can't miss that shot. They can't miss it. You know, if a no-hitter is going on or a chance to clinch a championship, there's a photo that they can't miss. I know going to Dodger Stadium that night, I kind of felt like that too. There's a story I can't miss. Do you feel that way too in some ways with the whatever story you do about either the history or, in this case, introducing a player for the first time to a family? Do you feel there are these moments that, man, I can't miss on this because of the place I work?
Well, obviously you want to hit everything, but the way we would look at that is I would read all the coverage in the next that's out in the next few days and try to take an approach that is different from that would bring, you know, new information, that would bring a new perspective to that. So it's not so much you're worried about missing it on deadline, but you're more like, if you see something, you hope almost that, like, no one else notices, so it won't get reported, and like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel that way. Yeah, I mean, I try to do that on deadline.
Yeah. We're all doing that. That I would say that was kind of the way we look at that.
When you write about some of the history, though, that has happened here, what do you do? I mean, you can't ignore, like, you can find a new angle to 700, but you can't avoid 700. So when you try to tackle that, or even the battery record, as all this stuff was going on, where did you kind of look? What corners did you look in for those angles?
Well, for 700 homers, we just kind of looked at the home runs, you know, and tried to bring, you know, we did. We kind of looked at, rehashed them or looked at them in different ways, and you just tried to come up with a different way of looking at it, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, what's an interview that is held with that you enjoyed, that you're surprised you got, or even a moment that that you go in, okay, this is a resonant moment?
That's a tough one. I would have to say that would involve the three guys we're talking about. One of the three guys we're talking about, Waino, Yachty, or Albert, and I've been fortunate to have long sit-downs with each of them.
And anything about those long sit-down that stand out?
Well, the one thing I would say that stands out is if you're going to interview Waino, you're probably going to have to wait because he's not going to be on time. That's one thing. And then from the Yachty interview, the one thing I do remember, because you know how Yachty might not want to talk to the media all the time, but this was for the yearbook, and he kind of knew that it was a bigger deal than just a regular story. So we're talking, and we've probably talked 30, 40 minutes, and you know, you kind of get the sense that he's ready to wrap it up maybe, but then he says something like, I can tell you a story, but I don't have time. And it's like, oh, come on, Yachty, you can't tease me like that. And they go, what is it? And just pretty much kind of out of the blue, he goes, remember Carlos Beltran? He said, I hated Carlos Beltran when he got signed by the Cardinals, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just kind of talked, and I had no idea that was the case. So that was fun, and I ended up talking to Carlos about that, about how they kind of eventually, it didn't take them but a couple of months to kind of get on the same page and everything. But that was definitely a memorable one, with Yachty kind of giving me a story there.
Yeah, they had their connection through Puerto Rico, and they had a little bit of a rivalry going. They had some things on the field. You know, they had questions off the field as far as where their personality meant. That's interesting. Yeah, it was that's something that we saw at spring, and that is also in spring where, like, Carlos Beltran and Adam Wainwright, now teammates and forever linked for a great moment in one of their careers and a not so great moment in the other one's career, and defining moments for the directions their careers went. The spring was where they talked through that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess for them, enough time had passed where I think they could change their perspective. Was probably a little different than it was, say, a month or even a year after it happened.
Yeah, 15 minutes after 15 months. Yeah, you're right. They did give some time. Well, okay, so your time with the Sporting News, that obviously has been a long-standing institution in St. Louis. It left more than a decade ago. Its archives followed. It was the Bible of baseball. It carries that name. But it's gone through a lot of changes. I want to first ask you, when you got there and you start writing baseball for the Sporting News, what's the level of expectation for what you produce? What is the history at your back when you're putting fingers to keyboard?
Well, I mean, we had a big sign in the Sporting News office: tell us something we don't know. You know, and that that's, I think, a goal of every journalist. But it was just really kind of emphasized at the Sporting News from the time you walk in there.
Do you know where that sign came from? Was it yellow from age?
No, I don't know. But my guess would be it was John Rawlings, the editor at the time, kind of brought that in.
Was it a big deal for you to write for a place known so much for baseball writing?
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember in the 1960s, my dad bringing home the Sporting News, you know, and I was more of a Sporting News guy than a Sports Illustrated guy because my dad brought home the Sporting News and not Sports Illustrated. So I can even remember reading the little write-ups they would have over the basketball and baseball box scores and trying to say, okay, I can steal that verb and this verb and doing that. So yeah, it was, I had known about the Sporting News for 40 years practically before I started working there, and then you go there and you do feel a responsibility that you want to cover the game right.
You know, the Sporting News had correspondents for every major league team, every really major professional team, but definitely every major league team, and was constantly getting updates there. Baseball America still has a similar thing where they have a correspondent for every major league organization or for the organization as a total. MLB.com obviously has taken that model and enhanced it where they have a beat writer for every major league team. But other than that, I mean, so much has changed, right, for just how the game day-to-day or week-to-week is covered.
Well, think about it. I mean, the Sporting News, weekly you would run notes on every team, right? Mm-hmm. Notes just kind of about as several players, what was going on with the team. And when you think about it, those notes that were in the Sporting News, those things are tweeted. Those things are out there pretty much in real time anymore. So it just I can see why that notes format would have to be very, very different than today. And even then, 20 years ago when we were doing that, we would have a category called See a Different Game. That was the Sporting News kind of motto.
I remember that. Yeah,
See a Different Game. And that really, it gets down to reporting as well.
I think, you know what, to be honest, like that see a different game, I honestly think that that's like every story now that I try to write. I mean, or at least that's like in the back of my head a little bit, is how do I report this so that there's a different side of it? You know, even like the Cardinals go split squad, and I was looking at that, like how do I go find a story on that day with so much going on that maybe no one else is going to see? And I kind of took a leap. I wasn't sure if other people were going to go and write it, but, you know, it turns out that they didn't. You know, yeah. Brendan Donovan returning after 8 months to play second base, and I thought, well, this is a chance, and what can I report and find out about that, so that while the pitchers are getting a lot of attention this early on, or the cornerstones coming out to play for the first time, or the uniforms, what can I tell that's a little different, but also could be just as important to the Cardinals?
Absolutely, and I think that to me is an example of experience. You know, you've got the perspective. You know what you know to be looking for something different. When you see it, you know what, you know, like that could be it. Then you go in and report it and find out. So to me, that's a good example of just having an experienced perspective.
And also is kind of what you talked about you wanted to do with the magazine, is see a different game or see a different side to this person, you know, whether it's taking them off the field to tell that story, going back home to tell that story, looking into the high school to tell that story, or even like strategy element, or turning over the column, tell us more in your personal voice. So it is also the kind of a guiding light there for your work too, is to see a different game.
Always. I mean, yeah, I would say that that's probably, you know, if you have three marching orders, that's definitely one of the top three for everything we do, not just stories, but, you know, tweets or anything.
Yeah, or videos.
Yeah, videos, everything. Yeah. I mean, they're so, you know, that's the goal, right? You want to try to give fans something that they're not seeing, so maybe then they'll remember you and say, hey, I remember that from then, and let's go back to that.
I warned you that I was going to ask you about this because we started talking about it a little bit. Does that make baseball writing better than maybe it was when you were an editor there in San Diego, better than when it was with the Sporting News? Are we seeing better baseball coverage because there's so much wider competition, so many more sources, or is it just different?
To me, if you ask me, I think coverage today is absolutely better. I mean, and in a way, it's similar to the game. I mean, there's more information available to report for reporters, for writers. So you're gonna have more to work with there.
I lost a pen. Well, no, I can't write. I can't write anything about the game. Pens out. So yeah. And how do you see that showing up? Like, do you see that in top? I mean, because look, like there's so much content. You can do a content tornado, but there's also more competition than ever for like what's right, and there's probably more information out there that's, you know, I see legends and falsehoods spread quicker. How do you think like the good baseball writing kind of cuts through that cloud to stand out?
To me, the good baseball, well, if I, the baseball writing, and again, I've been around a long time, so I consider the source probably as much as anything, you know. So the people who are here, who have feet on the ground, who are covering the team here, talking to people, I'm obviously going to take into account more what they write than someone who is at home kind of watching from afar and probably even basing some of their reporting on what the people here are doing.
Do you think that all of that has also change the types of stories we can tell, that players, like, so 40 years ago, see a different game, we're talking more about, you know, strategy and shifting pitches and, you know, seasoning at the game. You've, in your time, and even really in my time, this is my 20th spring training here, I've seen players maybe more open to seeing the power of the stories away from showing their personalities, that maybe all this competition and all the need for content has changed the players' view of it, and we're maybe getting more of a sense of who they are. We're seeing their game away from the game.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that depends on the player.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're right.
I think that, you know, I'm not sure how much that has changed. I think guys who are kind of more introverted, if you will, or still more introverted. You know, I mean, I think the guys that are out there, you see them more on social media themselves, putting their own stories out there. But but I'm not sure how much that's changed.
So maybe a better way for me to say that then is, like, this is a game of stories. It's always been a game of stories. You know, some of the stories tellers we've seen walk out of the clubhouse, we've seen some of those things. But there's the chance that we're still telling good stories and maybe even some of the best stories.
I would hope so. I mean, we're always trying to learn, right? We're always trying to get better, and I think we are.
Yeah. And you think that that's like a symbiotic? I mean, you find that working for the magazine, too. Baseball's such a daily thing. But do you find that with the magazine, too, that it meshes well? Baseball as a sport fits well with stories?
Different kind of stories, but I mean they're not game stories like
right now,
but no, there's absolutely stories that the magazine writes that, you know, have the perspective of what's going on.
All right, what's the next thing you're working on? You can give a pitch here. What are you working on?
More than one thing here. Let's see. I'll tease out. We're going to do something on the Tony La Russa coaching/managing tree, if you will.
Nice.
On the road, you know, because you know, I was a little disappointed yesterday when Skip Schumacher did not come out to home plate with the lineup card to exchange with his former teammate Daniel Descalzo. I think maybe Skip was big timing him a little bit or something there. I don't know, but no, you look around and we're starting to see a lot of guys who were under Tony's influence at one time or another, who were in pretty key jobs in the major leagues.
While Skip is a listener to this podcast, definitely a listener to this podcast, I don't think he gets past minute 22, so, or 24, maybe. So you're good. You're good. He won't hold that against you if you ask for a photo shoot.
I'm planning to go over this week and see if that was, you know, give him the opportunity to say that wasn't the case.
All right. Very good. And well, you can find that then in Cardinals Magazine. That's Stan McNeil, senior writer for Cardinals Magazine and longtime baseball writer and editor at the San Diego Union Tribune. San Diego Union when it was there, and then it added the Tribune later. And, of course, worked for a long time at the Sporting News, where I'm sure you read his baseball coverage. Thank you very much, Stan.
Well, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
You can find all of Stan McNeil's work in the Cardinals Magazine, which is available at the ballpark and, of course, through the team. That's the Cardinals Magazine. Some of the features he's done there are just remarkable, especially because of the insight he gets from the players and the moments he gets to spend with them. You can also find all of the constant Cardinals coverage from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, including the story about Brendan Donovan, online at stltoday.com or in the pages of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. As always, stltoday.com is where you can get your chat and immediate coverage every day that there's a game during spring training. You can count on the Post-Dispatch providing immediate coverage and even pre-game analysis and previews of the game with the lineup. That's every day of spring training. We'll have three people at least here all spring every day bringing coverage to stltoday.com. That, of course, includes the podcast. The best podcast in baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis. You can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get your podcast. That's including iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Please rate and review the podcast. It helps me direct what content is coming and what direction the podcast goes. Subscriptions make sponsorships possible, and of course, sponsorships make the podcast possible. All right, that's enough. There's a game to cover here at Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches. Had to relocate quick, so onward. We'll have a good podcast coming up too, where I get the chance to talk with my colleague about Daniel Guerrero about Cardinal prospects. Look for it soon. Have a good day.